Hello, everybody. Please take your seats. And since some GNSO members may also want to speak during this session, I would like to ask those GAC representatives who have more than one seat on the tables where the microphones are that they make some space for CCNSO members that they can also sit somewhere where there's access to a microphone. Thank you very much. Please sit down. Please do sit down. We are about to begin. Hello, welcome back after the coffee break, and welcome to the our colleagues from the CCNSO. You have seen that we have a few items on the agenda, of which one is, of course, of fundamental importance. I'd just like to give the floor to Byron to say hello to you as well.
Thank you very much, and good morning all to our GAC friends and colleagues. Needless to say, this is a very important week of ICANN for us in terms of IANA stewardship discussions or oversight transition discussions, and also of critical importance, of course, is the work of the FOI. And one of the key reasons I say that is from the CC community, there's a very, very direct linkage between those two subjects in that the work of the FOI really helps give us a sense of consistency and predictability around the issues of the FOI that enable us to react to the IANA oversight transition and go forward with some confidence. So those are critical and very, very tightly linked issues for us. The other two items on the agenda were around the strategic and operational planning review that we do in depth, and we thought we'd share with you our findings for this year, as well as the geographic names, country and territory names, and ideally how to prevent the overlap of efforts. And we have some thoughts and words on that. So those are the four big agenda items. As Thomas and I, you know, we've had some discussion and thought we should lead with the FOI and IANA oversight transition discussions, and depending on the length of time that those take, then we'll pick up with the SOP and country and territory names, if that is amenable to the GAC.
Thank you. So in case there is something that you would like to add or take off the agenda, or if you disagree with what we propose to you on how to conduct this session and what to spend the time on, this would be your moment. Of course, we hope that that is not the case. It does not seem to be the case. So let's start talking about the framework of interpretation, working group report, and how the GAC may or should or will react to this. Therefore, I would like to give the floor to Keith and or Becky to make a quick introduction on this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. My name is Keith Davidson, and I'm the chair of the Framework of Interpretation Working Group, and to my left is Becky Burr, who has been the vice chair of that working group. Just in very brief introduction, it's probably important to remember that the original purpose of the Framework of Interpretation was purely to develop colour and depth to the policies included in RFC 1591 and the GAC principles. It wasn't to create new policy and so on. And a very important original principle was that this would be a collaborative effort between the GAC and the CCNSO and other constituencies in ICANN to come up with a collective position. Now, our original intention was to present a joint endorsement between the GAC and the CCNSO to the ICANN board, and we were seeking to utilise the strength of the GAC opinion that would become binding on the ICANN board if we could have that agreement. So that seems to have become a little bit lost over the period of time, but we remain hopeful that there is strong agreement and alignment with the recommendations of the FOI report. Thank you for that. And does the GAC have a prepared statement? Or
yes, we have a 25 pages statement that you can download from the GAC website. No, sorry for this. Sometimes I tend to react like this. No, but we have a lead, fortunately, in the GAC that has been leading the discussion in the GAC and also with you, has had a number of talks, and that is our colleagues from Norway, and I would like to hand over to him and see what he will present to us about where the GAC is standing at the moment. Thank you very much. So Norway, please.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, everyone. The GAC had a quick discussion on this on Saturday, and I think we want to thank you from the CCNSO and the working group for the work that you've done. I think that just to have a quick summary of what we discussed. Of course, we discussed the activities with the interim reports, partial interim reports on the consent and significant interested parties and revocation, etc. And we summed up the previous responses from the GAC on those interim reports. And also we touched upon the telephone conference that was on the 22nd of January between the GAC and the CCNSO discussing the matter. To sum up the reactions or comments from the different GAC members, I think there are still areas in the report that the GAC have sort of problematic to endorse in that respect. But I think some of the reasons for that is that they are national regulations, etc., that might sort of overrule some of the interpretations, etc. So I think what was important that came out of the telephone conference is the statements underlying that also refer to the initial statements in the summary of the final report, that nothing in the FOI working group report is intended to constrain or limit any applicable law with regard to the administration and of CCTLD. So I think that is something that the GAC has a need to underline, that the principle the governments have the authority on public policy regarding their national CCTLDs. So I think a possible way forward, I think if we could, of course, open up for discussions on the different parts that we can disagree on, but I think for a possible way forward on having a coexistence of both the FOI interpretations and the GAC principles, I think we can recognize your work and take note of the report, and the GAC, I think, in its communique from this meeting, have a need for underlining also that the report and the interpretations in any way are going to limit or constrain applicable national regulations. So I think I have a feeling from the GAC members that that is important for them, and I think also the GAC also have a need for to recite and restate and underline the GAC principles for CCTLDs, and that is one important policy document for us as well. So I think that's a little bit of summing up, and maybe we can ask for comments on reactions on that, on possible way forward for that. So I think I stop there, and I think it's for maybe questions from you or from comments from the GAC, but I'll leave it over to you, Thomas. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Norway, for giving us this update on where we are and trying to get some looks about how we, our possibilities and how we can formulate this as a way forward. Other comments from GAC members or from CCNSO members? In case you are sitting somewhere where you don't have a microphone, then we'll see where you are and we'll find a way to sort it out so that you can speak. Yes, United Kingdom.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and thank you very much, CCNSO colleagues, for coming here, and thank you, Keith, for opening up the first agenda item, the FOI report. I just want to say that we've appreciated the briefings we've had from the working group on progress with the FOI report and over successive meetings, and we've had and enjoyed GAC direct engagement with the working group, and that's been helpful, and I had the opportunity to take part in a couple of calls which I found very helpful indeed. And you know, the UK position is that we really appreciate the intentions and aims of this report, and we do not see any problem in terms of alignment with the GAC principles on delegation and redelegation. So I didn't want any sense of undermining our working together in sync on this. I think it has been generally effective in terms of the GAC and the working group and the CCNSO leadership communicating and exchanging views and keeping in step. I think it's gone very well, and I didn't want this meeting to, from the UK perspective, to indicate some kind of deterioration in that understanding. I don't have that feeling at all. These are important issues, no doubt about it, and we do underline the primacy of the GAC principles from 2005. They are very important. It was a very important document, and the report, as you've described in your opening remarks, Keith, makes clear that there was no endeavour here to create anything new or reorientate subordinate the GAC principles in any way. And I think that's a very important statement that this meeting can jointly underline. On a slightly separate point, and I made this point on that call, the virtual meeting, the teleconference that we had, which I found very useful 2 or 3 weeks ago, whenever it was. The point that I made was that there was, I think, value in an opportunity for recounting what the report says on revocation. A couple of us had questions about that on the call, as you may remember, and perhaps this is an opportunity, on if we have time in this session, to recount what the report says on revocation and the impact on it, and the very limited sort of scenario where the IANA functions operator in the future will actually step in and act, you know, and obviously that's would be in very extreme cases of misbehaviour. But a bit of an account for the whole of the GAC meeting on this occasion of the import of that and what the report seeks to do in clarifying that scenario, I would find very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will. The question is: Do you want to react to this now, or should we take one or two more? Okay. If you may give a quick explanation with regard to the question of UK. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I think there are a number of points raised from both Norway and UK that we should perhaps re-emphasise again. Firstly, I think we've often reported in the past, and we continue to verify this, that national law, local jurisdiction applies supremely. We'd seek to do nothing that would usurp the principles of local law, and we state that very clearly in the introduction. I think one of the issues in reading a document like this is when you get to the detail, you can think, why is this being worded in this way? But if you always reflect that the first principle is local law applies, and this is only to provide guidance where there is no clarity around local law. So very important principle in that regard. I think, too, in our steps through this process and the research and analysis stage, it highlighted that there are also a number of missing policies. And I think in previous discussions within the GAC, you've also realised that there are missing policies. And since this body couldn't create policy, perhaps the answers to what appear to be irresolvable problems aren't forthcoming. So perhaps to that end, as a future piece of work that we might consider to jointly do, we could have an informal group of GAC and CCNSO representatives who could highlight where there are perceived gaps in policy, and then in the fullness of time go through a proper policy development process. And I think on the revocation issues, that highlights the issue that RFC 1591 and the GAC principles only have a very narrow look at what a revocation might entail, and particularly what misbehaviour or which type of misbehaviour would occur where IANA would or could step in. And perhaps, a greater clarity around a broader policy on other types of misbehaviour that weren't covered in 1591 might be more appropriate as well. So I think there's a lot of work ahead. But just to sum up on that, as the IANA transition progresses too, and as the service level agreement for the names gets to be discussed, the issues of redelegations and delegations will come up for that group, and it's likely, therefore, that the GAC, through its participation in finalising the names proposal and the IANA transition plan, will still have to face these same issues along the way. So it's the FOI report in itself is not the end of the issues, and I think that there's a lot of productive work that we can do collectively on this going forwards. And I don't know if, Becky, you had anything more to add?
No, just to emphasize Keith's statement, we say very clearly local law, we believe that that disputes about management of domain names of CCTLDs should be handled locally under local law, that only in very extreme cases where there's a stability and security issue would the revocation discussion come into play, and there's nothing we could do to change the supremacy of local law, even if we wanted to, but we don't. The CCs feel very strongly aligned to the local law and the ties with that. And then just finally, also we do I totally agree that the GAC principles and the FOI are completely reconcilable. We have a statement to that effect in the opening provisions, but by their terms, where the GAC principles apply, there's an agreement between governments and operators and the like. Those, of course, would also be supersede this.
Thank you for this input that may help to clarify a few things, especially with regard to moving forward or possible options. I have the U.S. on the list, NUI, and then Eberhard Lissi, CCNSO member. Thank you, U.S., please.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you also to Keith and Becky for your overview of the FOI Working Group report. We regret that the GAC's workload on new GTLDs had kind of diverted some of our attention during 2014 away from that. Nonetheless, we do believe that we certainly sought to make contributions on the chapters on consent and significantly interested parties. I think the chapter that we have not formally commented on is in fact revocation. But I would concur with my colleague from Norway. At this point in time, we are certainly mindful of the fact that the CCNSO Council has actually already basically adopted the report, and we certainly don't want to be in the way of that report going forward. So I'm very gratified as well that you all are concurring with our assessment that we can have, peaceful coexistence between the GAC and the CCNSO, that our text still stands. And to be quite candid, we have not reviewed the 2005 principles to determine whether we might wish to update them, which is probably on our to-do list. And I want to commend you all for trying to interpret what is in fact a rather mature RFC. Rather than seek to rewrite it, I think that was a very clever approach, and we found it really useful to track your interpretation of RFC 1591. So I think I will leave it at that I think it's good to know that we are in agreement as to the peaceful coexistence of our two respective perspectives, because I think that's useful. Keith, I take your point at this moment in time. It can be useful guidance, but that it isn't the end-all be-all, that we can continue to collaborate on these important issues. So thank you again for all of your work.
Thank you, U.S. I have Nui, and then I add India to the speakers list. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. What I find in this is it's not very clear. There's not very much about unconsented revocation. There is very much about consented revocation and the principles for that. And that is also in line with what is the definition of misbehavior. But there is very little about unconsented revocation.
So when we talk about, there are three different phases that are discussed. Delegation, which requires the input and agreement of significantly interested parties, which certainly includes governments, and certainly importantly includes governments. That's the delegation portion. There's a transfer portion, which would be our reading of RFC 1591, is that in the absence of national law that establishes other principles, transfer should be based on the consent of the transferring and the transferred to party. But that's only transfer. The revocation issue only comes up it only addresses the places where IANA can step in. Nothing precludes governments acting under applicable law for creating the circumstances under which an unconsented transfer or revocation or whatever you want calls that. That's just not ICANN's business or IANA's business. IANA's acts in a revocation context only where, in very limited circumstances, where the largely technical requirements of RFC 1591 are not being met, security and stability is being compromised, or there is substantial misbehavior in very limited numbers of areas that can't be remediated despite IANA's best efforts. So I can't emphasize enough how limited the circumstances under which this applies. Partly that is because that's just what RFC 1591 addresses, but also because we must and we agree that local law is determinative, applicable law is determinative. There are all kinds of different relations in terms of contracts or law between governments and managers and laws that apply to managers and all of those things, none of which are addressed here, none of which are displaced because of the interpretation. So you're right, there's not much discussion about unconsented transfers, other than to say we don't think that they can occur at IANA's initiative. And the revocation is very narrow, but none of that constrains what a local government can do in accordance with its rule of law and subject to all of its processes and procedures.
Thank you. I have quite a long list of speakers, and given the fact that we cannot overtake, because we haven't take this as a reminder for those concerned, we have the CTO Commonwealth GAC members meeting in this room from 12 to 1. I suggest that we take a few statements now, the ones that I'm going to read, and then we try to answer them or comment on them collectively, if that's okay for you. So I have Mr. Lisse from the CCNSO, I have India, Spain, the gentleman to the right that I would then ask to come over and sit to a microphone, and I have Australia. This is what I have so far. Okay, let's begin with Mr. Lisse.
Eberhard Lisse, I'm the CCTLD manager of .NA, and I'm not speaking for the CCNSO, but for as a member of the FOI working group and as a current member of the CCWG accountability. I've got five points which I'm going to make, so bear with me, because I'm a medical doctor and I have problems reading my own handwriting. The FOI did not make new policy, wasn't our intention, wasn't our result. But we interpreted it in a joint working group, existing ICANN policy, and how it is applied in practice by ICANN as the IANA function manager. Secondly, as much as I was opposed to every GAC principle known to man, the more often I read them, the more they grow on me. I support Keith Davidson quite in that local law is supreme, but it is binding on the CCTLD manager, no matter how harsh a law or a regime may be in which you find yourself, you're subject to the jurisdiction. But as far as I understand it, the IANA function manager is not subject to 253 different jurisdictions. Unless we solve that dilemma that ICANN is subject to Namibian law, to Iranian law, to North Korean law, to Ukrainian law, to American or Swiss law, we must either find a way of dealing with this or we must not deal with this. As far as subsidiarity goes, I do not agree that it is ICANN policy that a government has automatically management input in the CCDLD manager functioning for the code corresponding to the country. Never mind that each manager residing in such a country is subject to the country's jurisdiction. That is not debatable, that is not debated. With regards to the report, I wonder if it's not maybe helpful to deliberate a little bit further with members of the GAC in a less formal setting, with a formal agenda, but in a less formal setting and in a smaller setting where we also take more time to do this, so that if there is misunderstandings or things that are not understood, that we can sort of maybe resolve that. I have a big problem. Why this comes out after the end of a multi-year joint working group where five senior GAC members, including the then chair, were participants, where at every ICANN meeting that I can remember, the GAC was briefed, and a report was written, and a year later it comes out, it only comes to the fore. This concerns me greatly because I'm a member of the CCWG accountability working group. We have GAC members there, and I really want to know what the position of GAC members in cross-constituency working groups is if we cannot rely on their participation or on their input or on their output. I'm not saying that a GAC member necessarily, if he's in a working group, must say this is the GAC position, but at least we must be able to predict a little bit or rely on. I don't know. I'm going to bring this back to the GAC. I'll come back with a report on this. And that is very difficult. We have not experienced much results when we have attempted this in the FOI.
Thank you very much. Next is India.
Thank you once again, Chair. Thank you, and I must compliment our colleagues from CCNSO for having done excellent work and for the contributions to the cause. Just wanted to make a small comment. You know, with the new GTLDs now coming up and large number of proliferation happening, I think the importance of CCTLDs and CCNSO is going to change dramatically. And I think every single recommendation that we make at this point of time should be seen in that backdrop. I think we have a very, very important job at hand, and I think some wonderful work is going on in that regard. I would just request CCNSO to consider, now that there is this whole issue of ambiguity of national law, would CCNSO also consider taking the lead to draft a template of a national law, which countries, because there are a large number of countries who have really not applied their mind in this regard, and like in the IT Act, initiative was taken, and that led to several countries coming up with a national law. something which could be template, and those countries who are interested could actually look at adopting that kind of a law for their own usage. Thank you very much.
Thank you, India, for this proposal. Spain?
Thank you, Chair. Regarding the coexistence between GAC principles and GAC interim principles on IDN, CCTLDs, and RFC 1591 and the framework of interpretation, I think we can try to endorse that kind of coexistence, although I doubt that coexistence is going to be peaceful. So I think, as my colleague from the US has underlined, we have work ahead of us to do, because that coexistence is not going to be peaceful. We have underlined that sovereignty has to be respected and national and local decisions have to be respected. We have conveyed that message to in the IANA Stewardship Transition Working Group as regards CCTLDs. And what we see in the framework of interpretation coming from the RFC, it's not new, it's in the RFC, is that governments are one of the significantly interested parties. One comment that the GAC conveyed to the framework of interpretation working group concerned the concept of significantly interested parties and the fact that governments could not be on equal footing with the rights of significantly interested parties as it is set out in this framework of interpretation. And I don't recall that this concern has been addressed in a satisfactory way for the GAC members. So this is one of the points in which is going to be a friction between GAC members' line of thought and RFC and framework of interpretation. So maybe we could envisage to work together on future developments on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Spain. Nigel Roberts.
Thank you, Chair. Nigel Roberts from Guernsey, one of the British Islands. I welcome the comments of GAC colleagues, particularly the United Kingdom and the United States. And once again, now that we're actually here, I see more commonalities than differences. I think CCTLD managers need to appreciate a little bit more the diversity of opinion that exists within GAC. We tend to see it as a little bit of a monolithic block that we come and visit for a short period and then leave, and obviously you have your discussions the way we have ours. The biggest problem I see at the moment, in fact, is not with the GAC. It's with a reluctance, or let me put it this way, a perceived reluctance of the ICANN board to take account and to be bound by something that I see as no more than the simple rule of law. In other words, to observe pre-existing policy, now that we have examined in depth and interpreted it with the assistance of the GAC colleagues that were involved in the working group. And I think the comment I'd like to raise or to ask is that I hope, or maybe I even expect, GAC colleagues to assist us in persuading the ICANN board to take account of the some 5 years of work that we've done together. Thank you.
Thank you. I have one more intervention from Australia, and then we can collect comments. Australia, thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks to all colleagues who've spoken before and to the FOA Working Group for coming to talk to us today and clarifying some of our questions. I think it's been a really very useful discussion. Before I make the point that I was planning to make, I just wanted to address what I've been hearing in some parts of the community, which I think is a misconception that the GAC has not commented on this in the past and is simply waiting to the nth to the last point to make a comment. I've heard several people in the community say it's been going on for 5 years and now we find out the GAC isn't happy. In fact, the GAC has provided written comments on earlier chapters, and the GAC has been engaging formally and informally with the CNSO for some time. I'm reasonably sure that the fact that we're having this discussion should not be a surprise. So I just wanted to address that, because I've heard it a number of times and I want to set the record at least a little bit more balanced. In terms of comments which have come before, I agree. I think what we're looking at here is some wording to potentially get to a point where at least if it's not peaceful coexistence, at least there's not armed conflict. And I think what we're my reading anyway, and I could be wrong because there are different perspectives in the GAC, as my colleague who spoke before has pointed out, one of the things is how we draw the boundaries between the various documents and the missing policies / grey areas. And I think my colleague from, I think it was .NA, usefully pointed to one example. So in terms of the preamble to the current report, we have the useful commentary that the ultimate policy authority for a country is its government, and nothing constrains or limits applicable law. And of course, as Becky has pointed out, that almost goes without saying. The question is that then the operator, the IANA operator, is not subject to everyone's national law. So if in Australia there is a national law and the decision is taken that we would change the operator of a CCTLD, transfer it to someone else, obviously we can do things within jurisdiction to make that happen. But we need predictability on what the IANA operator would do. The Australian national law isn't going to be able to direct the IANA operator. So, and I think that's one of the issues. It may be that the RFC is silent on this. Well, you know, as you've usefully pointed out, it will constrain the IANA's operator's ability to act on its own initiative, and we probably all agree that some framework around that is going to be very useful. But knowing how the IANA operator would react to a circumstance where a government had national legislation, made a decision, and it's a grey area. So I think, you know, if we can frame those in a way that we can all come to some sort of agreement on, I think it will address a number of the concerns from both sides. We don't want to go too far one way, too far the other way. We just need to, from a government's point of view, from my government's point of view, I think we would like some predictability there. And it may be as simple in the framing as saying it doesn't constrain or limit applicable law or the IANA operator's ability to act in accordance with that, or something like that, something which gives a sense that it's not being constrained or closed off. Because one of the risks I see, and I've talked to Keith and Becky and others about this numerous times, is some of the language in this report, which talks about limiting the IANA operator to acting in very particular circumstances, it's very clear that that's not the whole situation. It could be seen to be precluding the IANA operator from acting because of a national law. I'm limited to acting because of substantial misbehaviour, therefore, what do I do when a government comes to me and they say they've passed a law and here's the result? So I think having a bit more clarity, to be frank, around those kinds of circumstances would be really helpful. But thank you very much. It's been extremely useful.
Thank you. Please, Surya.
Gosh, so we have to finish at 12. I'll do a very quick summary of some of the points raised. I think going back to .NA, there was a point that arose in my mind from that's quite relevant too. That is, there were a number of RFC delegations of CCTLDs made prior to the authoring of RFC 1591 and 1994, and the details of those, if they exist, are in John Postel's office under lock and key at the University of Southern California. So the actual detail of what that delegation meant is quite obscure, and as we've said in the framework, there's not necessarily an applicability of the framework to those CCTLDs as well. So again, local law will be the determining factor, I guess. I took on board the comments from India and the concept of a compilation local laws might be a useful thing, and it might be something that we could collectively work on to provide a matrix of pick and choose for anyone who wants. So that was a very good suggestion and something that we should discuss in the CCNSO. Spain raised the issue around redelegations where governments would stand equal with other local internet community groups. I think it would be fair to say that, well, at least in my mind, it's inconceivable that a redelegation could occur in today's world without government's consent. The reason why we're a little bit vague about that in our framework is because not all places have not all CCTLDs have a government, and some CCTLDs have very disputed governments, and an example of that is Antarctica, where, you know, which government would you determine of the 16 or 18 who dispute that it's their territory to be the master of the CCTLD? Gigi raised a question which I think Becky was going to address, and then to Australia. Your comment about the GAC not participating, you would have never heard that from me. The GAC has participated. My sentiments were that it's a shame that we couldn't get to the original objective, where maybe the GAC could have appended the framework to its GAC principles and then provided that to the ICANN board as advice. But I do appreciate the efforts of the GAC and the individuals within the GAC who gave up lots of time, particularly in the analysis and research stages, and suffered many, many hours of discussion over individual words and so on. So I think through the process we've grown to have significantly more trust in each other's constituencies and motives and so on. So I don't think any of this is a waste. And I think we have probably as good an outcome as we can in the circumstances. And I take your point about IANA and its difficulty that it will have in deciding what is or isn't local law, and that may be a subject of a PDP. But again, we couldn't refer to it in the framework because it's not a... there is no existing policy on that. But what we want as much as you is that there be a predictable process with predictable outcomes. And we think the framework, at least to the extent that it can, provides the mechanism for decision-making that should allow consistency and predictability in the decision-making. And Becky?
I don't know what I was going to say about Gigi, but I just wanted to make sure that when we're talking about the significantly interested party issue, that we are very precise. The term significantly interested parties should agree comes up in the context of delegations, and that includes what we used to call redelegations, but we are now thinking of as delegations following a revocation. In the context of a delegation, including a secondary delegation, significantly interested parties should agree is the language that is used in RFC 1591. Personally, like Keith, I cannot imagine a circumstance under which a delegation could go forward in the face of a government's opposition, so long as we know what government that we're talking about. So Antarctica may be a troublesome point. But also we should recognize that national law has something to say about significantly interested parties. National law may empower the government to speak on behalf of the internet community. There's no one-size-fits-all rule. And again, because we are not intending or enabled to do anything that trumps that national law, that's an important piece to remember. We're not saying that, you know, in all cases, IANA has to hear from the engineering community and civil society and whatever, because in some cases that may be determined by local law. So I just wanted to be clear. I actually have very high hopes for peaceful coexistence and would very much like to avoid any fisticuffs.
Thank you very much. We have another request for the floor from the back.
Okay. This is Bernard Thomas. I'm the director of telecoms for the government of Dominica. This is a very interesting discussion, and I'm glad that the CCNSO has done some great work. And I have read RFC 1591, and as I speak to you on my way back to Dominica, we have an identical situation I have to deal with as director of telecoms. The issue here is whether the decisions of the CCNO and ICANN in general, are they recommendations and guidelines, or are they authoritative and take over the laws of the state? Because I seem to hear that if it is a transfer or a redelegation, then the national laws takes precedence. But in the extreme circumstance where you may have a revocation due to technical stability and et cetera, then it seems to suggest that the ICANN regulation or guideline, it takes effect. So I have an issue now to decide whether it is, if it's a transfer or a redelegation, then the state, the national laws seem to be coming in effect. But if it comes to this extreme end where you might have technical stability or some security issues, then it seems that ICANN's decision takes over. The question is a chicken and egg one. Is the ICANN decision, is it binding on a sovereign state? Or are they just guidelines and recommendations? So I have an issue to deal with that, and I'm glad it is here for discussion, because back home I have an identical situation, and I have written on a number of occasions, and what I'm getting is, well, ICANN laws say so, ICANN rules say so. So I ask the question, which takes precedence, the national law or ICANN's decision? So I need to find out something. Thank you so much.
Thank you for asking a concrete question. I see that Australia would like to react, and maybe you would like to react too. Is it okay with Peter if you have a quick reaction? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I actually had another direct question, I guess, on where we go from here. My question to CCNSO colleagues is it useful to continue working to try to refine this in a way that we can find the middle ground where we're as coexisting as peacefully as possible, and should we be doing that intersessionally? Is there any scope to modify the report or its preamble further? That would be helpful to know. Or is the next step going to be a statement from the GAC welcoming, noting, endorsing, referring to coexistence, etc.? So should we be focusing on the report at this stage, or the GAC's response to the report if it's already fixed? That would be useful for us to know as we come to drafting our communique, I think.
Thank you. If you could answer both questions, the one by a colleague from Dominica and the Australian colleague. Thank you.
On the redelegation, revocation, transfer issue, I think, first of all, it's inconceivable that a revocation could take place without government consultation. That is just that we have appeals rights in that process and all kinds of things. So the likelihood that a government would wake up one day and suddenly find that that its CCTLD had been revoked strikes me as highly unlikely. for one reason, in the FOI and in RFC 1591, there is a very strong presumption that that we will work together to ensure that all registrants continue to have connectivity and have their names resolved. And simply pulling a CC that is operating and providing name resolution would violate that very principle. So, although RFC 1591 doesn't go into detail about it, I think that there are significant protections for the sort of instant revocation. In the end, and in the very limited and very extreme circumstances where the operation of a CCTLD is actually posing a risk to the stability and security of the internet, I personally think that IANA needs the ability to respond to that. That the prime directive of ICANN is stability and security, and we need to respect that. But again, I just don't see how that could possibly happen in a void without input from the relevant government.
A quick intervention, Chair. We are in Dominica's case. We are not talking about a revocation at all. We are talking simply a redelegation, not a revocation. So that's what I'm saying. It seemed to have suggested earlier that if there is a redelegation, or if you want to call it a transfer, then the national law take effect. We are not at all talking about revocation of it. And that's not, so I want to find out here whether a transfer or a redelegation is within the national jurisdiction.
The short answer is yes, it is within the national jurisdiction. And you can simultaneously interchange the words redelegation or revocation in the circumstances. So, yes. If I could go to Australia's comment very briefly. I think... There's the recommendation that's likely to come from the FOI working group to the CCNSO Council at this meeting in Singapore will be to adopt the framework finally and to provide its recommendations to the cross-community working group on accountability and the CWG on IANA to inform them of information that they may wish to take into account within those working groups when they are covering the service level agreement for the IANA transition. In terms of its future and whether there should be an FOI version 2, I think we would quite welcome that. I think we would quite welcome an exploration intersessionally with the GAC to spot the gaps in terms of any other policies that may need some work on and so on. So it's, of course, it's a dynamic process, and I think the peaceful coexistence that we have achieved will continue to make us all want to strive to work to have more predictable, more consistent results. So we would certainly welcome and not neglect to participate in any discussion intersessionally or at future ICANN meetings. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have already taken over 5 minutes. We have one more request for the floor. I give you 30 seconds, and then we need to wrap up the meeting. Thank you very much. Nui.
Thank you, Chair. Well, unlikely things do happen. The government of Niue, for example, woke up one morning without being informed about the migration of 250,000 domains to new registry, and they were not informed. So things do happen.
Thank
without informing the government.
Thank you. Another 30 seconds response and then we finish. Okay.
I'm not aware of what the situation is, but that doesn't occur to me to be anything to do with the delegation or the redelegation or the revocation of .nu.
Okay, thank you very much. That was very informative, I think. We all agree, and hopefully helps us to move ahead. We need to stop here. Maybe, Byron, do you want to say something before we break?
Thank you very much. I think that conversation was extremely helpful for the FOI and for the CCNSO and Council in general. And I think we share far more common ground than there is darkness between us. So I'm hopeful and confident that we can find a path forward that allows us to move this issue forward in a constructive way. It would seem to me that our agenda perhaps was a tad over-optimistic, as we achieved only one out of four of the agenda items. That said, our Strategic and Operational Planning Committee has done considerable work in reviewing the ICANN's strategic plan, operating plan, and budget. It has proven very useful over the years to many community members, including your own. Our most recent report is published, and I would encourage you, if you're interested in that, to review the report, since we didn't get an opportunity to discuss it here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The whole GAC meets again at 2 o'clock. Now it's time for the Commonwealth. Thank you.